Welcome back to Tango TV's premier interviewing program, where today we'll be interviewing a certain Joe Polai. Hello, sir.
Hey, guys.
I couldn't get Matt today, so unfortunately I had to drag this Tarnsman person on again.
Come on. Like, I gotta be here. What the fuck, Alfonso? Get your shit together.
I apologize to one and all, especially you, the audience. Anyway, yeah, how you doing, Joe? You've been involved in some community projects recently, such as 100 Lines and our speed mapping shindig thing. How's that going for you?
I'm good. It's fun to be back, actually. It's been since 2008 when I last was in the Doom community, and then 5 years before that, so it's nice to be back.
Okay, that would explain it, because I'm with Tarnsman, actually, when he said that he wasn't quite aware of who Joe Polai was until he saw some of your Plutonia 2 sketches from Up 23.
Yeah.
And then I rang some bells, and I thought, yeah, isn't he that guy whose map I played in 2002, Demon Odyssey and the like, and yeah.
Yeah, I was heavily involved back in 2000, 2002 era, and then after my father died, kind of lost all creative will and had to help my mother and all that, so that's why I disappeared for a while. But yeah.
Is there anything in particular that spurred you to come back, or just?
I missed it. You know, it's like every year I I'm gonna put. You know, find a better game or just do something else. And every year I come back and play, you know, reload it, reinstall WadOther, well, now Doom Builder, and then, just continue playing. But something just keeps bringing me back. I quit 17 times.
Wow, 17? Well, you counted them as well.
I've played for 18 years, so I've quit 17 times.
That's mighty impressive. But you haven't quit since 2008, have you? So that's...
Nah.
That's a good sign. Or a bad one, however you want to look at it, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, so talk us through how you got introduced to Doom. Was it a similar story to everyone else? And how did you get introduced to mapping, foremost?
Well, the first time I heard about Doom was by Sandy Peterson. He came back to Dragon Magazine. I think it was issue 160, 162.
Oh.
And he had this article on what he was working on at id Software. Mm-hmm. And there were early screenshots of Doom, and that's the first time I heard about that. So at the time, I had for a computer was an 8088, so had to wait a few years. And then was around 94, was offered the shareware version of it, but still had that 8088. So this is around the next year. In 95, I started playing Doom on my first good computer.
Was that a common problem? The people you knew that they knew about the game but couldn't play it until. Did you need a high end rig at the time?
It probably would have. Played on a 486 with 66 megahertz, but, you know, I had no money back then, so. Yeah, and the first time I knew about editing was, what's the book? The Doom Game Editor, Blue Cover, by Joe Pantuzzo, so I bought that, followed the instructions, nothing happened, because I couldn't figure out how to use the nodes builder.
Right.
And then bought
you had to pay for theme editors back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, this, I didn't...
You still can if you want to use Deep Sea.
Yeah. And then I bought the Tricks of the Doom Gurus, which was, sometime in late 94 or 95, some. Read that, tried Weighted, nothing happened. Couldn't get it to work. And then I bought the Alchemy, 3D game Alchemy thing, and that's how I actually was able to use WadOther to successfully start my Doom levels.
Sounds like you're building up a bookshelf there. It always surprises me how many books are released on this topic. And now that just you're describing it, it sounds really, really arcane.
Yeah, I didn't have internet connection until 97, so... Like, I'd go by the Demon Gate with the 5,000 wads and all the shovelware wads. I'd buy that and play. That's how I played my levels for the first 2 years. Yeah.
That's interesting, because we've heard lots of stories from the likes of Christus and company who've, and of course Adam Windsor, who were able to get involved relatively early on the mapping scene, the big community projects, but you had to sort of wait it out until you got the necessary material and knew what you were doing, basically. Did you have any other friends or acquaintances who are also interested in the game, so were you able to, like...
No, all of my friends and stuff who would have been interested in the game, they were my D&D players, and they had moved on, which is kind of how I got involved with computer gaming.
Right.
You know, I lost all my good players to marriages and good jobs and all that, so I... Bastards. So I... ended up, getting into computer gaming. And when I found out I could do Doom editing, I was, like, thrilled. That was dream come true, you know? Actually, everyone thought, when they'd see me read that thing, that they thought it was, like, a college 3D CAD book or something when it was open. Because they'd see the map schematics and stuff and just... think I was learning how to program that.
That's great. That is
great. I mean, I love how just obtuse editing was back in the day.
And yeah.
Nowadays, we're spoiled with all of our easy tools. And, especially as somebody who didn't get into Doom mapping until recently, to where it's like, oh, I'm so glad that, all this was done before I came along, and I get to just sit here and use Doom Builder 2.
I am half intrigued as to what the process would be like, but I have a feeling that those at the time would simply say, no, stay away, stay back, don't touch it with a barge pole, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's I don't recommend it. Like, using new WAD tool, don't recommend that. When you got slumped and... what is that? Slumped idea.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it's almost barbaric the way we had to do things back then.
So there's like nothing of old editing that you wish would be incorporated in new editing? Like, I know there's some WAD author features that...
I love, like, WAD author, the print feature. I love its... I still think it has... the best error checking out of all of the error checking I've tried between Doom World 1 and 2. It still seems better. And the rotate sectors things seems easier for me to use in WAD author than... And the other, in WAD author you can, say you're working on a 32 level quad, you can select which map change to that map. You don't. I must be doing it wrong in Doom Builder 2, where I just don't. I can't switch levels easily. I have to like reload the whole damn thing, and so certain things I think would just be easier if it had like those three features from WAD author.
Right. So, okay. So when you have to remind me as to what your earlier maps were, because I don't think I've played many or any of your standalone releases. What was the earliest one there? When did that come in?
The very first level I ever worked on became map 3 of Endgame, Morsel. When I was working on it, was called Tunnel 6E.
Okay.
And it had a different start. I lost that map. Most of that map to a hard drive crash. So, and then I was able to salvage that from a floppy, but and reworked it. But that was the first map I worked on. I hit mapper's block midway through there, created the gate. The gate's actually my first completed map. And then I did Crossfire after playing Plutonia.
Mm-hmm. Which I understand that Tonsman has just played in the last 10 minutes. So perhaps
give
us a bit of info. how Crossfire
they were
plays.
Maps, roughly about like a good Master Levels map. pretty much.
Do you take that as a compliment, though?
I do, I do. You know?
Also, every single door track is not properly pegged, but...
Yeah, I remember that criticism from, his name was Metal or something like that back in 99.
Wow.
But,
your first, you say map 3 of map, endgame, sorry. Keep using endgame and map game. That was your first release or your first map actually ever made?
First map actually ever made.
Wow.
First release was The Gate.
Yeah, I'll probably have to go back and play that game with that in mind, actually, because I sort of skimmed over thinking it was top quality stuff without giving it much second thought, but there you go.
Yeah, Anthony Soto had to finish that map because that was right around when my father died. So, he dropped in a player start and all that because I was trying to work back the way I originally had it from my sketches, but he wanted a deadline and
were big back then.
How the community process worked back then is often like how people envision, you know, tightly controlled team projects working more so than how the community process works nowadays.
And I guess because of the way that you communicate to each other in those early days sort of demanded that you have some sort of, because I guess on the forum today you can quickly provide feedback and jump off one another and you can get a back and forth going. You can quite easily say, right, push the deadline back 74, be in contact. Yeah. So it wasn't like that back then, I imagine. But Endgame was a community project, wasn't it? I'm using that in inverted commas.
Well, the way Endgame was, Anthony was friends with, like, say, six, I think there were six mappers. He had, he had maps from all six of us, and he was like, he wanted something big to go out with, so he was like, can I take this, can I take that? Sure.
Okay, so it was more of a just a sort of compilation.
Yeah.
Which you put a name under. Yeah.
Like, I had no idea Lee Szymanski's map was going to be in that. Eric Holland's map I knew was going in. Map 5 I had no idea about. It was, he basically orchestrated that and released it. And then...
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the what was your latest release like before your major hiatus? Tell me through the process to how you got up to that stage. Because again, I'm not totally familiar with that era.
Endgame was probably my last major release because Plutonia 2 was going nowhere fast. Actually, 2002, A Doom Odyssey was my major release. That was the last thing I ever worked on.
Mm-hmm. I think Plutonia 2 would be a very interesting one to talk about in its early days because you'll have a better insight into that into why it stalled, what went wrong there. Because the Plutonia 2 that I know now is the one that's released today and that sort of got picked up back in the late 2000s. So you can talk us through that then, what happened then, and perhaps how you think it sort of spiraled out of control or whatever.
Oh, God.
Where to start? Is that a big
controversy? Yeah, where to start? Well, that was an exciting project because it was like, okay, that and AV was announced relatively at the same time, within a month of each other.
Possibly okay, that's
all
back.
Of each other.
Yeah.
That's mind-boggling to me. Because, like, yeah, when I think Plutonia 2, I think, like, 2008. When I think
right,
really,
it's been, time. I think that entire debacle has been lost. Honestly, people have forgotten about it. Certainly, I was aware of it, but I never really get not acknowledged it. It's like a myth or something.
Well, I remember some like early development screenshots because even though I didn't start mapping until 2011, like I had just sporadically like looked at Doom community stuff and grabbed map sets and stuff and played most major releases. And I remember seeing some like, oh, hey, we're making Plutonia 2, and some people were commenting that it looked more like TNT, and it looked bad, and they didn't like it, and
I recall
that's all I ever...
Plutonia. I'm not sure that's the same thing.
No, that was a different thing. Was that someone... I don't remember Dark Plutonia. I don't remember if that was
Death
the Destiny's former right. Plutonia. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Death Destiny. Yeah, like... don't know. It was, you know, Sam Woodman came out, oh, I want to make Platonia 2, and I just finished replaying it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I like that. I figured Alien Vendetta, I just didn't like the name. I was going to submit to it, but I just didn't like the name of the project.
Wow.
So it's, you know,
that's,
it was just...
Wow, okay, so you must look back now and think that's kind of a silly move.
Oh, in the Plutonium 2 text file, I joke about it. I'm like, I knew I should have joined AV, but,
that's
yeah. fantastic. it's one of those things you kick yourself for 8 years.
It's like being one of the 16 publishers who turned down the Harry Potter book series.
Oh, yeah. You know. Never heard of... He had something called, because I never heard of him, but he had something to download. I think it was Sanguines, something to do with blood. So I played that. I was like, it's pretty good. It could, you know. And I was relatively new, because I think my first releases were around 99. I uploaded everything. So, you know, I was a nobody back then. So I was like, okay, I'll join this. And just grow, you know, learn the ropes and just grow and just make my name that way. But, the first 6 months was awesome. It was a lot of learning, learned it, like sector merging and all that. When I was given, what was it? Map 6 to fix. And, cause he had a VPO he couldn't find, and I was pretty good with finding VPOs. So, yeah, and let's see, Ebola joined, Frederick joined, and then, you know, pumped out a map and then left, and,
Just like, bye guys, done,
yeah.
See you,
yeah, yeah. Released. You know,
Not on luck today.
Oh, God, I don't...
I mean, did it just peter out?
It went strong for about 2 years. Then it died, and then it came back for about 6 months, and then it just died again.
It sounds like there's a lack of interest there. I don't know. I mean, I'm still trying to struggle to get to what happened.
Or, like, just people, it wasn't getting made fast enough?
There was that, and there was, people were getting frustrated with Sam, because he would, he'd release, five maps for Mortizer, and he'd... Yeah.
Oh, his priorities wasn't there or something? People, wasn't
yeah, stuff on you know, it was, you know, and I gradually lost interest after, fixing my second or third map, and I was still trying to, because I was working on three maps originally, and then I went down to two, and plus I was doing fixing, and then 2002, I was working on that, and... It just became too much, and one of them had to go, and I was like, well, Plutonia wasn't really going anywhere for a while.
Hmm. Now, ultimately, you had one in the actual release way down the line. You just had the one map there. So what happened to the other submissions that you had planned? Did they just disrupt the grid? Did you release them in some other form?
No, what is it? Map 15... Never should have been a Plutonium map, I can admit now. you know, it was a monstrous tech base. And, so I've taken the best parts of that, and that's going into a level set I'm calling Where Dreams Turn to Ash. That'll be map one.
Super.
And what was the other? Oh, the other map I... had originally submitted was Tunnel 6E, which ended up in Endgame, so, you know, it found a home eventually. And then, map 27, which became map 23, I had to completely revise. I cut up three quarters of it and redid it.
Now this seems like a good opportunity to shoehorn in. One of 40 answers, three questions that he's sent in, and two of them pertain to Plutonia 2, and one of them sort of crosses over and sort of mapping technique sort of thing. Now, of course, as I said before, me and Tonsman were brought to the attention of your existence when you put those printouts, which I found very interesting, of Aztec Aurum, what became Map 23 of Plutonio 2. And 40 Ounce asks, do you have printouts of all your maps? Does it help to keep tangible copies of your mapping background to review later for inspiration?
I have most of my maps. I don't have my dementia maps. I lost those during the move. Mm-hmm. And I do think it helps keeping them. I review them. Because I'm a slow mapper.
Yeah,
I'm a real slow mapper. So I'll like go back and forth, and I'll have like three different versions going, and I'll
very methodical. Then.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you guess you'd have to be if you plan on drawing it out on paper first before you take it to the actual editor. But I know Tantum would never consider doing that.
Oh no, I wouldn't. But did you like you talked about trying to get into Doom mapping for a while and just like not being able. Because
yeah, it was.
Did you like
7 months?
Did you start drawing maps on paper before actually making maps? Like, I have an idea for a Doom map, and
but I don't know how to edit it yet. So I'll just
Have like three. One's called Void. Starts in a pitch black room with two light switches and a horrible maze. And
because I asked that question because when I was younger. My father had a work laptop with Microsoft Visio. I don't believe it was owned by Microsoft yet then, but it was Visio was on it, and I drew a bunch of Doom levels in Visio, and they're terrible, of course. And I plan on finishing making them into Doom levels as my, like, what I would have made if I was, like, able to use these tools when I was this age maps, because like, they were terrible ripoffs of, like Gateway and Up maps. Like, you know, I was a kid, was, like, drawing this crap, so that kind of is funny to me that, you know, if somebody draws maps before they map today, I was just wondering if you had just started drawing maps before you were actually able to use the tools.
Yeah, well, my earliest maps were, essentially, they were Dungeons & Dragons maps, because I used to be the DM, so I was taking, like, you know, I used to do... Yeah, so I was trying to take my DM... type thinking, because I would do cave systems and all that, and I'd try to make that into, like, a Doom level on paper, and it just never translates well. So, and then I started, you know, following the instructions in the 3D Alchemy book, and just kind of went away from that and stuck with, like, Doom logic, you know?
Going back to, Plutonia 2, Sele has a question in regards to the development of Plutonia 2, and I've brought this up several times since Plutonia, regular Plutonia, is my favorite IWOD, and I've brought up that people often misinterpret what a Plutonia map actually is, and a big example of that is like monster count, how everybody remembers Plutonia.
Yeah.
Of monsters when Plutonia actually has very few monsters in a lot of its maps, and I was just wondering during the development of Plutonia 2 was like the you know trying to capture the feel and like technicalities of a Plutonia map ever really brought up, or was it more we're just going to use this texture set and it's just going to kind of resemble a Plutonia map?
It was kind of the latter. It was because like if you since Zaza released all those originals, the betas. It was like Sam would have just a shit ton of monsters and like blocks and lines, and it was basically double the monster count initially. That's a good base how we started it, and you know it was. I think our thinking was just you know it had to be action all the time. You know there wasn't much tactics.
40 Ounce actually echoes the question that Tonsman just asks. Then he accents the fact that because it was a sequel, perhaps there was more sort of an inclination to do away with that style and just sort of say, okay, we can just double the monster count because it's a sequel. Now we can sort of
we were just kind of just trying to make it hard as fuck for the time. And then by 2008. Reboot. AV had come out, Kama Sutra had come out. I mean, the overall playing level of playing raised like three bars, you know.
Right. Okay.
So we had to just scale it to that.
That's interesting. I forgot about that point. Yeah. I mean, you think about some of the earlier classics, and they are like sporadically difficult, but it's more or less hand.
Yeah,
it spikes basically. If you take.
I could almost play through Fava Beans and maybe use one health pack per map. It's just, it's that easy compared to what's out there now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, we're that much better.
I can't actually remember who it was on the forums very recently. It would have been like a couple of days ago who was recalling their experience with reading one of the books to guide them through Chris Klein's Lost Levels.
Whenever
you encounter a Baron, just turn around and flee. It's like it encourages you to run away in terror. It's like a soul Baron. That always fascinated me. So you own that?
I own that, yeah. I bought that at Leechmere. And I actually picked up my my Doom 2 copy at Staples, of all places.
You need to funk it.
It's weird. You'd think, okay, it was available in Staples. It was that popular back then.
Speaking of the difficulty gap spike and all that, I do find it kind of interesting, though, that, like, if you go back and play, like, Doom 2 and Plutonia and whatnot, they still have quite a few difficult moments in them. I would say that stuff nowadays is even easier than in certain areas.
See, that's kind of interesting, because when you were saying that the team was more interested with regards to Plutonia 2 than making it more difficult, I was going to say, but Plutonia is just as difficult in any case, just for a different reason. And I was just thinking of maybe the team was, I don't want to use the word blind, but I will anyway. I like blind to the fact that was where most of the difficulty was drawn from, the sort of limited monster use you strategically in annoying ways. And then they just sort of, I mean, were the team aware of this fact? Do you think there's certain facets of Plutonia design that just were either not known or just completely disregarded?
Towards the latter.
Okay.
Like, I think Adam and Vincent both gave a thorough playtesting and, like, critique, and they kept reiterating, like, you know, certain facts about, like, Plutonia's gameplay and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, out of the original beta levels, only, like, three of those levels met that criteria. So, but it and then, you know, with the new team members, like Gusta and Method had their own level of playing, you know, their difficulty level.
Yep.
They're pretty beastly,
I guess.
Yeah.
Gusta's maps definitely play like Gusta maps out of like Kama Sutra and not out of.
Yeah.
So I guess this is another question, the final question for 40 Amps, which I probably should have tagged on after you started talking about your sketchings. It's a pretty lengthy question.
Okay.
To do with your mapping technique and how you plan. How much of a map can be done or planned outside of actually using a Doom editor? Do you ever run into troubles where your plan looked good on paper, but
all the time
came out really bad when it translated to Doom?
All the time. Usually what I do is I'll because I sketch during my 30-minute lunch break, so I get about 20 minutes of sketch. And that's about one room, maybe two. And then after that, I'll take it home and I'll work on it, and that's when I'll hit my wall. What's on the map, what's on the paper doesn't translate all the time. And then you have to deal with, like, height and connections and stuff. And
all right.
On the paper, it's... It looks great, but
it
look at it in the game, and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, usually it helps for, like, major flow areas, and then it hits a wall,
mm-hmm.
and I have to, like, work out where to go. And I usually end up mapping myself into a corner, and then I have to, like, figure out how to move beyond that and rotate.
Just stop and search an area and connect them lazily with teleporters. Oh, yeah.
I should do that, because I have, like, you know, I really would like to do that, where you have, like, four good areas connected by teleporters and just be done with it.
I've often said that's how Valkyrie Force maps should be connected together.
I like his stuff.
I like Valkyrie Force's arcadey style. I just think that it needs to be connected together in a more cohesive manner.
Yeah, there was a few maps where I he's one of the few authors I've ever, like, I liked enough to email a critique and never got a response. So it was just like, okay, he probably thinks I'm an ass.
Packages multiple questions into this one overarching question, which we're sort of getting up there. And he also asked, like, does this sketching method, does it help you stay focused? Like, despite the fact that you can map yourself into a corner, and there must be upsides to doing it the way you continue to do it.
I find it helps me problem solve. Like, it doesn't help me stay focused. It actually helps me stay loose. Like, it allows me to play with ideas, you know.
Okay.
I can spend 20 minutes on paper, go back to work, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, versus like 3 hours in the editor or whatever.
I've never adopted that the sketching method, like, when it comes to Doom maps. I always just go straight to the editor. But especially when I was younger, of course, I did do sketches for other things, like fanciful things like mini golf courses or something like that. And obviously, I never got around to making those mini golf courses because I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I imagine, like, when you go through the process in your head, it's more about the fantastical elements of it, like,
from
the technical. It's about sort of the theme, the atmosphere going for sort of.
Yeah. So, yeah, like,
getting that sort of creative aspect going. So I imagine I would have been less concerned with the technical aspects and just would have said, okay, I'll come to that road when I get to it. I'll cross that road.
Yeah, let me find one I've never released, and I'll send it to you guys just so you can...
That'll be handy, yeah.
That would be handy. So, even though, like, you have a 2D layout that you sketched out on paper, and obviously, you know, that doesn't always translate well into the game, when you're drawing the areas on paper, do you, like, think of what textures are going to go in there and generally how it would actually look?
Oh, yeah, let me hang on here. Where is it? See this one. Yeah, I usually like the original Plutonia Aztec Quorum sketch, which I lost. I had the opening area, you know, roughed out. I had beasts written to the side. I wanted like barons, Keikos, demons, specters, and I had like beastone, support 3, and wood. Written down, and that was like my initial sketch. And and I wrote dark, atmospheric, and that
right. And that actually brings up a sub point, and it's more about the process of mapping, because I know there are several people, particularly the ones on IRC, who don't like doing thing placement and gameplay because they really have to think about it. When you make an area, like when I make an area, I always think about what the function of that area is. And how it's going to play before I think what it's going to look like. Are you the same way?
Most of the time, yeah. I like with Aztec Quorum, like the opening area, I knew I wanted to squeeze the player from both sides. And then for the most part, yeah. I think of like, okay, I figure out the type of fight I want, and I just try to make a layout match it.
I imagine when you're doing the top-down sketching method, you're sort of more inclined to think about monster placement, actually, in the way that the map's sort of directed in that way. And there is the sketch that Joe Plies just sent to us. So,
yeah, this is...
up right now.
Yeah, this is a Hellcore map that I was working on.
We'll put this in the thread, guys, so you can see it, by the way.
Yeah. And I, you know, this was going to be map 6. It's now map 3 of Where Dreams Turn to Ash. And it just has like my ideas, dinosaur fossils.
You've drawn the geometry's been drawn out sort of very carefully, and then you've scribbled over the top of it.
Well, this is like this. The lower portion of this is where I'm actually working on next, where the middle section's all the map itself printed out in Wad Author, mm-hmm. and then you know, with my notes scribbled around. But let me see if I can find another one with textures and whatnot.
Oh, okay. So if you map yourself into a corner, you don't keep screwing with it in the map.
No.
I've paper immediately, and like you design everything on paper before like you even bring any new things to the map editor.
Yeah, I've lost Tunnel 60 to a hard, you know, twice. I've lost my first map to crashes or bad nodes building where it just
eats the map.
Yeah, it eats the map.
But
it does.
If you lose the map in that manner, but you still have the sketch intact, do you feel like everything's been lost, or do you think so? Okay, now I have another chance to sort of re-envision.
No, in my current project, Deathmatch Revival, my second Deathmatch map, I lost the map, but I had the original sketch, so I just rebuilt it.
Right, yeah.
So, and it came out different, actually better, because the original
Wait, is
version...
Deathmatch Revival a Joe Pelai project?
No. Doomkid 92, I'm on it, but here we go. Here's the map I'm looking for. Sorry.
I feel like you're about to get some scrutiny there from Thompson.
No. Alfonso and I played through a rough beta of that, and there were a lot of maps in there that were pretty,
Can you say Combat Fields?
Combat Fields Part 2 is magnificent. Anyways, let's...
I was in Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah. Vaguely recall.
So, here's a, this is a... The latest thing I sent is a Plutonian-inspired map sketch. Original. This is my first sketch.
Okay, and so this is the sketch before you even put it to editor.
Yeah, I haven't even started this map yet. It's been sitting probably 10, 12 years. I've been sitting on this map because I haven't finished what I've started, so I just
What advice would you give to a mapper who wants to make levels but doesn't have much time to spend, like, in front of the computer? Is this a method that you would recommend to anyone else? Because I know people who do sketches like this, but...
Start small and just... That's my biggest advice, is start small. Don't make huge frickin' maps, because they take forever. But,
it just occurred to me that if you have an A4 size of paper and you want to be able to see what the hell you're drawing... that I imagine you would be forced to make a map that was limited in size.
Yeah.
These drawings I did, I actually, which I'm going to release when I finish turning them actually into maps, I did a lot of squishing stuff into that 8x11.5 section, I imagine that...
I imagine if you wanted to do like something like Velopack, you'd need an A1 sheet of paper. Just like a big canvas or something.
No, just get like a 32 by 24 plotting paper.
Hmm. So let's talk about a little bit about what sort of things you like seeing maps. Like, what are your favorite or most least like mapping traits? Like, are there any tropes in the community when you play through a map that now that you dislike? Any aspects of map design that you feel it rubs you off the right way and the wrong way, for that matter? Top of your head. Because I know Tarnsman here super values layout above all else. Layout.
No, I'm an atmosphere guy.
Atmosphere guy.
Yeah, it has to... I like the action, but I mean, I want a good-looking atmospheric map. It could be low detail and be atmospheric.
Of course.
I
would quite happily allow the map to sort of play mediocrely as long as it felt like it was somewhere and evoked a certain mood or something.
That's layout. Yeah.
Like one of my favorite maps of all time is Diapatra, and it's, you know, the ending's weak. It's just a Red Rock Cave, dark and windy, and you get lost, and but the secrets are bizarre, and you know, it's, I've never played the map the same way twice. It's
right.
You know, it's one of those maps that just intrigues me, kind of like some of the Eternal Doom maps where it's, you could come at them any direction. I like non-linearity in maps, and I like a bit of like fantasy elements. I dislike tech bases, really. That's, I don't really make tech bases. So
what about so I imagine maps that's like, have you played Unloved, for example, or RTC?
No, I dislike Z Doom type maps because doesn't feel right. It and also, you know, I went through the whole does not play in port suggested port. Yeah. And I just got so sick of it. That's why I'm primarily a vanilla. Yeah, you know, if things should play in the fucking port you say it's supposed to play in, and it just, like, none of them did for, like, 2 years. And I was just like, God damn it. Yeah.
That's the entire reason why I play with Z-Doom as the port that I use, because I know that it'll run, like, at least 95% of anything I try and throw into it. Like, because, yeah, struggling with ports, especially back in the day, is a nightmare.
That was probably, yeah, by 2003, it's between Burnout and Does Not Play Intended Port. I was just like, done. I walked away. You know, I had other things to do.
Okay, so you came back to the community in 2008. I understand we're sort of moving away from
Slice. Yeah, I came back 2008 just out of stubbornness. I wanted that map done.
For really? It was specifically to get that thing?
Like, yeah. I mean, it was a thorn in my side. It was like, you know, what the fuck? I mean, I made the map. It was a good map. It wasn't exactly the original Aztec Quorum. Someone said it played more like a Requiem or a Memento Mori 2 map, which is, you know, probably true. But it was still a good map, and I was just like, it never saw the light of day. None of my maps saw the light of day, and I was just frustrated. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. Mm-hmm. I'll do whatever I have to make it go into the level set. And so I reworked Aztec Quorum. It was about another 8 months of work. So there was 17 months total time building that map. Mm-hmm.
And dare I say, I think it wound up one of the better maps in the set.
Yeah, Aztec Quorum is one of my favorite Plutonium 2 maps. Yeah.
Thanks.
So after that was done and dusted, I mean, you decided to stay on and continue to...
I think I had a Doomworld account, but I never posted except for that one time to criticize Sam Woodman's secret... exit he added to my map 15 of the original project. So that was the only time prior to the release of the development sketches. So I just kind of lurked in the background, played maps as they were released. And what was it, like 2009? It was all about Fallout 3 for me. So I never even looked at the editor that year. And then 2010, I started reworking some of my old deathmatch maps that I had sitting on the hard drive.
Now, of course, you took part in the Tango TV's Speedbuffing Extravaganza. It was last week. It was indeed. Yeah. And just thinking about how you're so methodical, usually with regards to your map design. I mean, speed mapping isn't something that I would think is your forte. Are you sort of forcing yourself to do that, or had you done speed mapping extensively beforehand?
I think that was my 13th speed map I've ever done.
Oh, you're good with numbers.
Yeah,
you quit the Doom community 17 times, and
17 times, yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could tell you how many hours I've play-tested all my levels, too. So,
do it. Tell me.
Okay. Tunnel 6E, 413 hours.
Great.
Because I would, that's how I texture aligned. I'd add a texture, I'd curve the wall, and I'd go in and play it, and it's off.
Yep,
so I'd have to go in.
Tweak a vertice, go back and play.
So, I'd have like a post-it pad, and I'd just add the new changes to the texture offsets, and I'd go back in to double check it. It was like, that was 413 hours. Plutonia 2, Map 27 original was 272 hours.
Wow.
And another 100 or so hours added.
I flat out just could not make maps back in the day without, 3D mode and all that, because I don't have enough time to...
Test
something for that much, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, that was the only thing that made me want to try Doom Builder was that feature. I'm like, where was this? I mean, honestly. And then you hear about people who, what was it, Strain? There was a map level, I forget who it was. He did like 5 deathmatch maps without any, without playtesting it, just perfect alignments and all that. And he, because he did it that way.
Chopped the length of the line and was like, okay, yeah. I can modify this. Wow.
I forget who that is.
It's ridiculous.
But, I would have to go in all the time and just check each new thing. And, it was so new. It was just like, wow, you're in your own world that you created. It was, other than, there was like a few programs I had used prior. Like I did Load Runner, made my own levels for that, which was off the Commodore 64, 180, 128, and stuff. But there was Unlimited Adventures for one of the old SSI TSR Gold Box things where you can make your own game, but never got that to work right. So this was, for me, the biggest thrill.
See, I mentioned speed mapping specifically because I thought perhaps now you say it's your
13th
time you've done. Yeah, but I mentioned that because I thought perhaps because of your usual methodical approach, you were perhaps intent on changing things.
I like speed mapping because it breaks my routine.
Okay.
It forces, and it's a social thing.
Right.
Like, the original Doom World speed maps, we all hung out on IRC, and, I forget who, Sergeant Baldy or someone would run the speed mapping thing, and, we'd all shoot the shit before, and then, I'd have to disappear once the speed mapping session started. Because I can't multitask. And then I'd pop back on when I was all done. But I like speed mapping because it breaks my routine. It puts me out of my comfort zone.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's a place where I can play with ideas,
Also, it's a learning curve. I mean, whenever somebody brings up the term, not that I think it actually really exists, I think you actually use it at the start, mapper's block. I usually say, it's just better to do than think about it and just get right in the mix. And if you give someone a time limit, then they'll force them to do something, then that's probably the best way to do it.
It
certainly worked for me. I think I've only made, actually, like 3 speed maps to date. Actually, only 2, because one of them was made without my glasses on. Don't ask.
That did help. Thing ever.
It is the best thing ever, and I'm so glad I deleted it.
comp whatever is the best mass floor texture to ever exist.
I thought it was like Crackle or something. What am I supposed to do? I'm sitting 3 feet away from the monitor. I can't see it. Whatever.
So speed mapping is definitely about just forcing yourself to get the juices flowing. Do you ever incorporate concepts like you do something in a speed map and then you're like, okay, I liked where that went. Now let me make a map that I have more time to really flush out and design and all that.
Not yet. I was going to salvage 2 of my speed maps. The city one I made which I can't remember. I think that was number 10. Mm-hmm. I was going to try to salvage that, but then I just left the whole Doom editing thing for like 5 years. So not yet.
Not yet.
No. Because I was thinking, like, I have, what, 13 speed maps, so that's, you know, almost halfway through a megawatt if I just made them, redid them and worked on them and made them not suck. That would be a nice little level set, but honestly, some of those are so bad, it's not even worth doing. Mm. But
yeah, you've made quite recently a map for the 100 Lines project, and I'm just thinking of the sort of the limitation that's imposed there. Was that sort of, were you in a similar mindset to the whole speed mapping shindig when you're
I was like, wow, okay. I read the original opening post. I was like, that's genius, you know, because, you know, wow, 100 lines. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like a Saturday or something. So I was about 5 hours off and on.
Yep.
You know, while I was doing stuff. And then I stupidly misread the side def thing instead of the line def. And
I was going to ask.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right. Because I think you wound up with like 59 lines or something.
Yeah, I had like 58. And because I misread the side def. So I might need glasses. So I don't know. But
there you go.
Yeah, because I was playing that map, and I was like, all right, this is interesting. And then the map just ended, and I was like,
yeah.
That wasn't 100 lines, what the heck?
Perhaps the reason you found it interesting, in part due to the fact that you recognize perhaps in the community a sort of tendency to rely on sort of very, very itty-bitty detailing through the sort of multiple lines and many tiny sector sort of things. You thought this would be an interesting approach sort of for the community, I guess?
Well, I haven't made a single-player map other than that 5-in-100 speed map since 2008. So I was like, okay, this will, you know, get the juices flowing and maybe give me some ideas and just be fun, honestly. It was just something to see what I could do with it. And I started another one, but I don't know. It's one of those, okay, I really should go back to my current project, finish what I started, and then I'll go back to that. But I don't know. It's just too many irons in the kitchen or whatever. Fire, whatever.
Too many irons in the kitchen?
Yeah.
You don't mind if I use that in the future, do you? Because that sounds
sure.
I'll employ that at every available juncture. Anyway, it looks to be coming to that time now where we get to the small feature-ash that we have adopted now for Tango TV's premier interviewing programs, in which we ask the interviewee what the 5 maps that he would take to a desert island would be for Desert Island Wubs. And I understand that Joe has selected his 5 for today.
Yep.
So what are they in order, and why have you selected them?
First one's Diapetra.
Oh yeah,
I find that map fascinating. I've played it like once or twice a year since I discovered it in 96, 97. So it's a map I keep going back to, despite its flaws. I just like it. Next one would be Eternal Doom, for its length and its puzzles. And I've always wanted to use that texture set, so I figure on this desert island, I still have my level editor to play with. So.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy who minds getting lost in a map occasionally.
No, I like huge maps, honestly. I like the sense of exploration. I like secrets that you could see and have to figure out how to work your way towards. Right. And,
I mean, I haven't played through all of Eternal Doom, but, I mean, it does get fairly infamous. It is fairly infamous for how it's able to get the player quite lost, and I imagine some of the ways in which you solve puzzles are quite
I think if it's map 31, I've never gotten 100% secrets out of it, and it's just one of these, how the hell do they, why some of these are like why, but you know,
But do you never figure out how to finish a puzzle and think that that's just ridiculous? That's far too obscure. It should have.
Not in Eternal Doom. And some of like Enigma. There's a few of that. I was just like, what the hell was Jim Flynn thinking? You know, but he's still one of my favorites. So
okay.
But it's just there's a few that yeah, it gets to the point. I'm like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But in Eternal Doom now, the atmosphere grabs me and.
Sweet. Okay, that's very telling, I think, of the sort of maps you prefer, that you put that on your top five. Although, now that I think about it, if you're staying on a desert island, that's probably an excellent decision. You don't know how long you're going to be there. Eternal Doom will last you for a good few weeks, maybe.
next one would be Batman Doom, because I've never played it. I've never had the... You know, and also it's one of those, okay, after I play it, I would like to mess with it in the editor and, you know, just... Something using the Doom engine that's completely different than AV, because I've never finished it, honestly. I was too busy mapping to finish it, so.
Tom Smith, did you play Batman Doom recently, or was that the Green Heron? That was the Green Heron, okay. But so, I'm very impressed by what I saw. When was that released again?
1999. Oh,
yeah.
Makes it even better.
Oh, yeah, Batman Doom is amazing. Well, I was going to say, I like the thought of somebody including maps that they haven't played on things they bring to the desert island.
Yes.
Well, I was like, I wanted something that I could fiddle with after I played it, you know? And, like, Batman Doom would be, it's different enough from Doom that, you know, it would be interesting to see what you could do using that.
Bex and D-hacked sprite replacement phase been over by the time you sort of got into the Doom Committee right at the start, 1997?
Yeah. I mean, until Legacy came out, it was just beyond me how to load it and all that, so I'm pretty...
You weren't particularly keen on it either?
No, until I tried it in Legacy, and I was like, whoa, you know. So, I've done, like Strain, I've... hacks and just a few of them.
Yep.
But I really like Doom for Doom, but you know, being a desert island, I was like, okay, I'll get bored, so I needed something else. So the fourth one for me would be AV, just since I've never finished it.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah,
from start to finish, continuous play. You've played all the
maps. Yeah, I got up to map 14, and I was involved with like three projects, and between that and Burnout, and then a virus. So I was just like, okay. I've never gone back.
Virus, that's right.
I just never finished it, which is a shame. But
I guess you're quite methodical with your playing as well as you are with your mapping as well.
I like to start one thing and then finish it in like a block within a month. I like the.
But also the pace at which you play, I imagine, is quite steady. I mean, do you like drinking a map when you play, or I mean, if sort of gameplay of the map sort of demands that you. Move about it really quickly. I mean, would you happily conform to that, or would you prefer to play a map set where it's like, I'll take my time here and I'll drink everything in?
Oh, I like to drink it in. I don't really do part times or anything. I take my time.
Yep.
Like average time for me playing a map is probably like 25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
unless it's really you know first 10 maps in a you know because they tend to be small, but. Yeah, I tend to play like Hurt Me Plenty because I've never been a ultra hard or anything mm-hmm. like that. Ultra violence. I just play Hurt Me Plenty, and I just want it to be relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know? Interesting approach. I dare say you're the exact opposite of Sir Tonsman here. Although, I mean, just I guess in the pace of play, I've recently retrained my brain to automatically select Hurt Me Plenty instead of Ultra Violence. Fact that I like to anticipate a playthrough again of the maps later on in a high difficulty. That's mainly
mm-hmm.
a reason for
it. Yeah. I don't know. You get more maps in on Hurt Me Plenty, I think, you know, because they don't become this huge slog.
Right.
So, the final Desert Island set would be Darkening Tooge, just to play with the textures.
Right.
And because I really enjoyed that at the time of release. So,
just about wraps it up. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That will see you through the cold nights alone on the island, and just generally building a campfire or something. I don't know what else you're doing. In fucking desert.
I don't know, man. Elia Vedetta has enough monsters that you could just like use their mass to like keep you warm.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. But between that and Eternal Doom, I think you'll be just fine. Anyway, that just about concludes this interview for Tango TV with Joe Polly. Thanks very much for appearing on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Very good. I think we have some names lined up, although I'm not entirely sure who they'll be, so I won't make any utterances at the moment. Of course, there's an interview with Natural 20, which has been delayed to more death standards, I think, at this point. So we'll need to get on that immediately. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for clicking download. Goodbye.